we were talking about the harvest, the fact that the harvest is ready and the workers are few. That was our main theme, and we've been getting into some more specifics. And today, we want to look at the fact that the harvest is the most important thing. We're talking, of course, about the Lord's harvest. And if you haven't been part of this series and you're thinking, why is he talking about farming? Well, let's go to the Bible and I'll explain. Matthew 9, verse 35 says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." Now, if you read your Bible, you'll see that Jesus often used metaphors or parables to explain something about God's heavenly kingdom. He would use a picture that they understood on earth. And interestingly, in that short scripture, he actually used two. He talks about sheep without a shepherd, and he switched right into the harvest is ready, the workers are few. So he used it often because God's kingdom, the spiritual realm, what he wants, well, we don't actually see it with our own eyes, and so he would use literal things that they understood. And the harvest that he was talking about, of course, was people who were in need. He saw so many people who needed healing, people who were sick, people who were broken, people who were confused, he said. Have you ever met any confused people? Have you ever been confused yourself? Isn't it amazing that Jesus actually cared about that? And he said they need a shepherd, they need to be led. So it wasn't just about healing sick, it was about leading people in the direction that God would have them go. And so he said the harvest is ready. And today specifically, we're going to dig into the fact that the harvest is more important than anything else. You see, because this harvest is so important, it should be our main focus. Luke 9 and verse 57 gives a little picture of Jesus and how he told people, hey, this needs to be important to you if you want to get involved. Luke 9, 57, along the way, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you anywhere." And Jesus said, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to call his own." Then Jesus told someone else to come with him, but the man said, "Lord, let me wait until I bury my father." I'll explain these a little bit more in a bit. Jesus answered, "Let the dead take care of the dead while you go and tell about God's kingdom." Then someone said to Jesus, "I want to follow you, Lord, but first, let me go back and take care of things at home." Jesus answered, "Anyone who starts plowing and keeps looking back isn't worth a thing to God's kingdom." You can say ouch, because amen, you know, maybe you don't want to say amen. Ouch. Here's Jesus. They're telling us some things that happened. People that he asked to follow him, other people that said, "I will follow you anywhere." And Jesus looks at them and says, "Really? Is this going to be the most important thing to you? Or is there other things in your life that matter more?" is what he's saying. So he actually says three things in there that we can see, three different situations where people's main focus was not God's kingdom work. Their main focus was other things, like their main focus was family. Their main focus was money. You see, their main focus was comfort. The first person he talked to, the guy's like, "I'm going to follow you anywhere." And, you know, Jesus has a look at the guy and he's like, "I don't think you've camped a day in your life, buddy, and we camp." You know, it's like, he's like, what? It almost seems like he didn't give the guy a chance. But remember, Jesus can see into the heart, and Jesus saw someone who wanted comfort, not kingdom work. He says, "No, I don't think you're ready for this." You see, many people in Jesus' time, they thought Jesus was going to be made king immediately, and they were thinking, "I want to be with this guy because I can be the king's right-hand guy. Like, man, there'll be wealth and comfort." And Jesus is like, "Nope, comfort can't be your main focus, church." If you're a believer and you said, "Yeah, I want to follow him," and you are striving for comfort, 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 I guarantee that you're missing opportunities for him all the time. And then what about the next guy that he tells to follow him? Remember, Jesus can see hearts. He knows. He sees someone. He says, "Hey, follow me." And then the person says, "Well, I'd like to wait first until I bury my father. Now, we don't know, is his father sick? Is his father just getting older? But he is basically saying, I want to make sure all the money and inheritance things are looked after first, and then I'll follow you. You see, money and having everything perfectly financially stable can't be your main focus, or you won't do kingdom work. Kingdom work requires some faith, and faith often asks you to step out when there isn't enough, when things aren't quite how you expect it or want it. But you be obedient, and guess who gets the glory? I've heard people say before, well, you know, we're going to get married, we're going to live together, but we're going to get married when everything is perfect, when we have enough money, you know, when we get all the things straightened out, when all my relatives are happy. Yeah, okay, you're never getting married. What is the main focus? The main focus, Jesus wanted people to focus on his kingdom first. You see, the last person in the story, it says in one version, he wanted to go home and say goodbye. This version, I think, is a little better at it. He says, I first want to take care of things at home. In other words, he wanted to make sure everybody in the family was okay first. Oh, church, if you choose to serve God, sometimes family members won't be okay with it. Sometimes family members will be like, oh, sure, you're just better than all of us. Is that what it is? Family members may even be just totally bugged that you don't do the things they do anymore. So if you're choosing, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus, your main focus must be his kingdom work. And of course, he uses another parable metaphor to explain it to them. He said, anybody who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for my kingdom. Well, why would he say that? They understood that when you plow, you have to be 100% focused. When the ox were pulling that plow, you had your hands on the plow and you looked where you wanted to go. You put the pressure just right. Because if you've ever used a hand plow, if you put a little pressure on this side, the plow goes that way. If you put a little pressure on this side, it goes that way. If you don't put enough pressure on both handles, it'll go straight in on you. If you put too much pressure, it'll just skim across the top. I've used one before. They're fun. To plow potatoes. You can ruin a whole lot of potatoes if you don't do it right. They understood plowing, and he said, look, you can't do that and keep turning back. When you turn back, it's going everywhere. You're not fit, he says. Those are hard words. When I looked at the people that Jesus chose, he really had just one qualification, and it was, will you be all in? It wasn't how you looked. It wasn't your background. It wasn't the mess you made in the past. It was just, are you somebody who'll be all in? Jesus didn't ask people to come halfway with him. He asked them to go all the way. And all the way people decide before they ever start that they're going all the way. It's kind of like marriage. When you get married, you say those vows. You know, we're in this for good, for bad, for rich, for poor, till death do us part. You make up your mind right from the get-go. Some of you got tricked. You didn't know what they were saying there. You just repeated the pastor, but that's what they meant. You see, God wants our main focus to be his kingdom work. He kind of brought up one thing there, I believe, about the finance issue. And money is something that can really get anybody off track, so much so that Jesus would speak on that quite a bit. In Matthew 6:24, he really goes into this. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You see, your main focus must be his work. And I think many of us say, well, I don't serve money, but it's amazing how money needed for bills for stuff we decided we wanted can suddenly own us. Have you ever met somebody, they're like, you know, I'm going to start a business, and their business suddenly owns them, not the other way around. And you call them, you're wondering where they are. Well, I'd like to come, but I can't because... Now, I know some of you right now, you're like, well, it's easy for you to say. You get paid to get up there and, you know, tell us stuff like this. I'm going to just be honest with you. I spent years doing ministry where nobody paid me, and I put the gas in the vehicle to get there. Because I love seeing God's kingdom work done no matter what. And I want to encourage you that you too can put his work first. What has he called you to do? I guarantee that none of us have the exact same call. When I say, what has he called you to do, his kingdom work, I'm not expecting all of you to jump up on this stage. But what gift has he given you? What purpose has he called you to? What difference are you making in his kingdom right where he placed you? Let that be the number one thing. Second point, because the Lord's harvest is the most important thing, it's our main focus was the first, but also we deny ourselves. Luke 9:23, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. You really want to get involved in God's kingdom work? You will have to deny yourself. It's not going to be all about you. No, you have to deny yourself. This picture comes to me sometimes when we talk about serving the Lord. Sometimes people come and, you know, God is a good God and his gift of salvation. And they come like, man, I'm going to serve the Lord. And it's like they think they are getting onto a cruise ship. And they're like, man, this is going to be the best life ever. You know, I'm just going to lay around in the sun. Or, you know, they think it's a cruise ship mentality. They're going to bring me free food. They had no idea they were getting on a battleship. Big difference. Really big difference, church. You see, when you get on a battleship, everybody has a job to do. Nobody is there to be served and waited on hand and foot. When you said yes to Jesus, you joined his kingdom work. You joined his church. And if you're like, well, I don't know, Pastor, is there really like a battle? You see, when Jesus first created his church and spoke about it, you know what he said? On this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not stand against it. Hold on. He built his church to storm the gates of hell, and they would not hold up against it. In other words, his church was supposed to go through the gates of hell to set people free. My friend, that's a battle. That is a battle picture that they understood. When you were going to overtake a city, you had to go through the gates. Not a cruise ship, a battleship. Some of you might be here like, I don't like battles. Well, that's okay. We'll help you out. Jesus said he'd never leave you. He would never forsake you. He said he'd be with you. He'd strengthen you. He'd anoint you. He'd give you what you need. All right. I think I helped you with the cruise ship mentality. Okay. If you thought we were just going to give you free food every... I better stop. I'm going to get in trouble. We deny ourselves. And one of those people in scripture that we read about a lot who talked about denying himself was Paul. Paul was a guy who said, I am not going to brag about the great things I've done. I'm going to brag about the things I have let go, the things I have lost, the things I have suffered for God's kingdom. Yeah, we don't really like bring this up when we're first asking people to get saved, right? Read about Paul, you know, his shipwreck, beaten with whips 3 times. You know, he said he spent a night floating in the sea, going to lose his life all for God's kingdom. Yeah, I know, like after today, I'm like, who wants to sign up? They're like, no thanks. I'm out of here. But you know what? Actually, it's not true. People want truth. They want to hear, is this real? Is this really the truth? And can I get in and be part of something bigger than me? You get in and you be part of what God wants. It is way bigger than you. And yes, it's awesome. But Paul went through some stuff. Philippians 3:7. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. This version says garbage. Other versions say counting it all as dung, or I was trying to find other things to help people get that. Just like, what is that? Farmers know. The sewer. He's like, all this other great stuff that I used to think was so wonderful, it's like the sewer to me now because I've chosen to follow him. Isn't that amazing? Things that he used to think were important. Because the most important thing is God's work. The most important thing is the call that he's put on your life. Galatians 5:16. If you are guided by the Spirit, you won't obey your selfish desires. The Spirit and your desires are enemies of each other. They're always fighting each other and keeping you from doing what you feel you should. That's a great verse that just clearly says this. You want to serve him and follow the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, him, his direction. You're going to have to deny yourself. Well, that's pretty simple. Deny yourself. You know, in our world today, maybe you hear that term, just follow your heart. You know, do whatever feels good. Just follow your heart. And I've met some Christians, I'd tell them that's not a Bible verse. I was saying, it says the heart is wicked and deceitful. Because you see, our sinful nature desires that are there don't line up with what the Holy Spirit wants. So no, don't just follow your heart. Follow his plan. Follow what he says. And if your desires don't line up with his plan, what do? Deny it. Shut it off. And follow his plan. Because in order to follow him and get involved in his work, you will have to deny yourself. I mean, let's be honest. Is there anybody here who is able to buy everything they want? Of course nobody can. Nobody can. So we end up denying ourselves already in some form, whether it's because we don't have the money or and we can't find it. Why not do it on purpose because you're following his will? Last night as I was sharing this, I'm just going to share it today because it's popped in my head again. But last night as I was sharing this, I'm in the middle of sharing this and all of a sudden I see a big truck with big wheels. I'm like, that's a nice truck. You know, in my mind, right? I'm thinking, I mean, okay, I know the Lord's showing me this because it just popped in the middle. And I feel the Lord say, you need to tell somebody. I want them to deny themselves, and they're spending too much money and time on their big truck. I want them to take that time and money and put it somewhere else. Wow. You know, sometimes as a pastor, those are not fun things to say. But what about you? What's happening in your life that you're maybe giving too much time and money to, and God's saying, I could use that. I got something better. See, when it all wraps up and you go to heaven, nobody's going to care about the big truck that you built. Nobody. It's just not going to count. I'm not saying you shouldn't enjoy things or have hobbies. Go ahead. Have hobbies, enjoy things, but don't let it be the main thing. And if God comes to you and says, hey, I need you to let that go for me, you're going to say yes. And sometimes he tests us just to see. But I have good news. When he tests you or asks you to give up something, he always blesses back. See, there's nothing that you've given up for God that won't be blessed back. In Mark 10:28 is actually the verse where we read that. Peter begins to speak up. He says, we've given up everything to follow you. And Jesus replied, I assure you that everyone who has given up house, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children, or property for my sake in the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution. Well, you just had to put that in there, didn't he, right? And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. Well, there you go. I'm saying, hey, put him as a main focus. Be willing to say no. Be willing to give some things up. And guess what? When you do, he says, I'm going to bless you back. Because you see, he's looking at your heart and your willingness, and he's a good God. He loves you, and he has good things for you. So church, let the kingdom work, his harvest, be the most important thing. Let it be your main focus. Be willing to deny yourself. And my final point that's going to take me a bit to get through before we go to baptism is this. Because the Lord's harvest is the most important thing, we choose God's will, not ours. You see, all of us have plans of our own, but Scripture says that the Lord directs our steps. And if we want him to direct our steps, then we're all in. We're in his kingdom work. Matthew 6:33, and I'm reading it in a little bit different version, but let me read it. It says, but more than anything else, put God's work first and do what he wants. Then the other things will be yours as well. Maybe some of you have been in church for a while. You recognize that verse more where he says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these things will be added to you. I love this version, put God's work first. Because it's just so easy to say, seek the kingdom of heaven and have no clue what it means. He's saying, hey, do the work that I have for you. Go after it first. And these other things will be added to you. So it should be the main focus. It should be his will, not ours. In Scripture, we know that Jesus did only the will of his Father. He actually said he only spoke the things he heard from the Father or the things he'd seen from God was the direction he took. And in John 6:38, he says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So Jesus is making this declaration in this chapter, saying very clearly, you know, my purpose is to come and do God's will. And interestingly, of course, we know at that time Jesus was already healing people. There were miracles. We know that he would see people raised from the dead, and the people were thronging and following him. You know, sometimes it's easy to say, God, your will, not mine, when everything's going great. But what about when everything's not going great? Are you still going to follow his will? Are you still going to do the thing that he's asked? Because you see, choosing to follow him means that you are all in, you're committed, you're saying, yes, I will follow you no matter what. Let me say that again. I will follow you no matter what. Maybe that, well, I'll follow you and, you know, things are great. I'll follow you even if there isn't a whole bunch of money. I'll follow you even if not everybody likes me. I'll follow you. Even though I didn't expect this to happen in my family, I'll follow you. It's a choice. You see, Jesus didn't just do his Father's will when everything was great. A time would come when Jesus would end up in a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. And he knew that very shortly he was going to suffer like never before and suffer for God's people. And he takes his closest followers and he says, come pray with me. He is burdened by what God's showing him, what he has to go through. And he says, come pray with me. And those who are with him fall asleep. He's literally in the dark, alone, facing the most horrible circumstances ever, realizing that everybody that's with him is going to desert him. And he's going to have to suffer like never before. And he prays. Matthew 26, 39. He went a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. We read this in the Gospels and we find out that he didn't just pray that once, but he prayed it three times in the garden. What was he doing? You're saying, God, are you sure there's not another way? I don't know if you've ever been there. So hurting, so wondering, why is it happening like this? God, are you sure there's not another way? And then he ends his prayer with, yeah, not my will, but yours. Whatever you say. It says in one of the Gospels that it was so intense that he sweat drops of blood. Not my will, but yours. I don't know what you're going through right now this morning, but if you have said yes to him and you know you're going the direction he said, you keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Because according to scripture, weeping lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. According to the scriptures of even this situation with Jesus, he would go through the most unbelievable torture and hung on a cross for you and I, but it didn't end there. And if you can say yes to him and you can hang on and you can say your will through the hard times, I guarantee good times are coming. Because that's the kind of God he is. But you got to go through. You got to go through doing his will. Not your own. You can't quit and run, or you'll never see the glorious things on the other side. Don't quit. Don't run. Just dig a little deeper. And when I, as a pastor, as a Christian, say dig a little deeper, you know what I mean? Pray. When you got nothing left, go to him and say, okay, God, I know I heard you, but this is crazy, but I need you right now. I don't know what the situation is. That's how you dig. There is a scripture in the Old Testament where a prophet is coming to God and he's complaining about the people, how they've come against him and how it is just rough. And you know what God says to him? He says, if you can't handle running with the footmen, how are you going to handle running with the horses? I know, and some of you are like, what? That was God's version of suck it up, buttercup. It's about to get tougher. What? Man, if I'm going to go pray, I want him to be like, oh, everything's going to be wonderful. He tells the guy, okay, so just for anybody who's wondering, that was an army terminology, and the footmen would have been like the foot soldiers, and it's as if you're contending and running along with the foot soldiers, and God says, oh, that's nothing yet. You're going to have to keep up with horses. I don't think I would like to hear God say that to me, but why and how? It's impossible with people, but it's not impossible with him. I believe there are times in your life where it gets beyond what you can handle because he's wanting you to let him handle it. He's wanting you to actually give it to him. He wants you to trust him like never before. Church, whatever you're going through, don't quit. Go through all the way. John 10, 17 to 18. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. Obviously, Jesus talking. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. You know, I love what Jesus did for us, and what he did for us is unbelievable, but it's even more unbelievable when you realize he didn't have to. At any minute, he could have said, yeah, that's, I'm done. Any minute, he could have just waved his hand and wiped them all out. He said to somebody, I could call on the Father, and he'd send 10,000 angels right now, and they all go down. Hey, he could do anything, and yet he said, nope, I'm staying here, because he saw you and I. He saw people through the generations that were lost without a shepherd. And he said, I am going to see a way for them to be made right with the Father once again. Maybe you came today and you're not a Christian. You don't really understand this. I want to encourage you right now. That gift that he paid on the cross for you and I, that sacrifice, his blood shed, his body broken, was so that we could be saved. Our sins could be forgiven and we could be made right with the Father, knowing that our relationship is made sure here on earth and knowing that our future after we pass will be in heaven in a place with him. And that amazing gift, there's just one way to receive it, church. If you're part of church here often, you know what I'm going to say. He said, if you believe it here and you use words, that's how you receive that gift. It's simple and it's true. And so we're going to take opportunity right now, like we always do, to take a couple minutes just to pray a simple prayer. I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me. It just allows you to use words, what you're feeling in your heart right now. So if you'll close your eyes and repeat this prayer after me, church, join in for those one or two who maybe haven't done this before. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I choose today to follow you. Amen. Give God praise for that.